Hi, you're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Well, hey, thanks for joining us today on Boggy Talk. We're in the middle, almost the middle of September.
Middle of September.
Alrighty. All things fall going on.
How many cups of pumpkin spice have you had, Ross?
Yeah. Ross? Wow, I don't know if you've ever called me Ross before. I have had one. I had it on... It was still August, actually.
Of course.
I was like, oh, man, I got to have a pumpkin spice drink.
So, Starbucks anyway. Is officially serving it.
They are. I also saw they're going to start having protein drinks.
Interesting.
Which I was like, it's going to be like $19.
I was about to say they're going to be like $30.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
I know.
That'll be good, though.
Getting none with the macros, you know.
Yeah.
Gotta do that.
Offset the sugar so you don't, you know.
Yeah.
Sugar rush.
Yeah, y'all know I worked at Starbucks for a little while, right?
That's right. That
made me not want to drink Starbucks because I was like, there's that much sugar.
Yeah, like, so much sugar.
Because you would make that and you'd be like, oh my gosh. And people would legitimately come in and order a drink that had like four pumps of the syrup, which is like 120 calories and like 40
just
carbs.
Sugar.
And then add sugar.
And get more.
Wow. Mm. That's crazy.
I'm like, I don't think you understand how this works.
Yeah.
Do you? But you can't
say that.
There's
already sugar in it. Yeah.
Man, yeah. I used to love Frappuccinos. Like, that was the thing for a while, right?
I was just like, when I
lived in Korea specifically, that we would be like, there wasn't a Starbucks. Yeah, that's right. There wasn't like a Starbucks near us. And so you had to go to Seoul. And when we would go to Seoul, there would be like, we've got to get
Frappuccinos.
Yeah. I don't know
why. It reminds me of Zoolander.
The caramel one specifically. Now I can't have them because I'm like, mouth shrivels up because of the
Frappuccino. You know, Steve Renna is the most manly man on our staff.
But he drinks the girliest drink.
He does.
I thought he didn't even like coffee. Oh, because he doesn't like coffee.
The pink drink from Starbucks.
That's
and he
like
not just like
oh he likes
he
it
he likes it
he likes it
yeah he's, so he's if you want to appreciate Steve if you buy him whatever the pink drink is from Starbucks he
Dragon
loves
refresher
it.
Or something
it is a refresher I'm not
yeah
sure.
Yeah I don't drink those
well because it's fall we always
do you like pumpkin spice
I'm okay with it
okay
I same thing I don't like the actual pumpkin spice latte because it's too sugary
okay
so every once in a while because I don't even drink sugar in my coffee but every once in a while I'll do if you just do an Americano with
like
one
that.
Pump of whatever the
yeah
you know, then it's like a little bit sweeter but
do you know that I have a deep affection for pumpkin spice
I remember you sharing that last year when we talked about pumpkin
I'm not like wearing Uggs and putting flannels
your,
on and all that
flannel
you know?
Your big hat
it's
but
too
it's,
hot for those flannel pictures here in
it's
Florida.
It's all things pumpkin spice, not just Starbucks.
I do love all
spice.
Things.
Okay.
Yeah.
I people sent me, seriously, it's pretty weird, I guess, that I like it this much and people know it. But people sent me, like, Jeremiah's apparently has, like, pumpkin spice.
Okay.
And they like sent me a message like you should go. I'm like, I am going
it's
to get that.
It's just overboard, I feel like.
You do.
So
I
many, so many things.
I like walking to people's house that have pumpkin spice burning.
Smell it.
Now, like a pumpkin spice candle, yeah, but I just don't like the flavor. It's just, I mean, I don't hate it. But
you
I
like
just,
but
candy
it's like
corn
that's,
a lot.
So I hate right. candy corn. That's the worst thing ever.
Candy corn's wax.
It's
that
why.
Is really
I don't understand.
Trash.
You ever watch those videos of how candy corn is made and you're like, why? Who decided this was a good idea for people to eat? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just, it's terrible.
Well,
I think
that
before
concludes
we,
Boggy Talk,
that's
right.
That's right. That's all we need to say. Before we dive into any content, though, I do feel like we need to issue
don't do it.
A recantation. Is that a word? We got to recant
yes.
our repentance in Ashcloth.
Repent.
Ashcloth.
Goodness gracious.
And,
I mean, I'm
our
happy
predictions
for this
about
that I have.
Florida State. We were very wrong.
Yes,
we, about,
we were wrong.
Florida State versus Alabama. Now, the jury's not out yet on.
True.
On you know Alabama could be this year's Florida State from last year and just turn out to be terrible, but but impressive win Seminoles, good job.
Yeah, impressive win.
Yeah.
What was that?
Impressive win. I get
just
it. I feel so bad
one
for Florida
time.
State after last year. I would love to see them undefeated and then lose to Florida in the end of the season. That'd be great.
That would be.
They
that
really
would be great for Florida.
There, I was trying to look at their schedule and I was like, they're really not playing anybody after Alabama and Florida, so. Hopefully.
Yeah,
you know,
no Clemson, no Miami. Season.
Yeah, they've got the road is paved for them to get to the ACC championship.
Garnet and gold.
That's right. It is. It's there.
Yeah. Well, switching gears here. a lot. So we're going to be talking about some just things that have been going on in the news lately. And a couple of weeks ago, another very, very tragic in Minnesota, there was a shooting at a Catholic school. And so we just kind of wanted to talk through some of that, our response, you know, as believers, Christians, the world, their response to it. Maybe some high talking points with articles and things, you know, that come out with that. So to begin with, yeah, there's an acknowledgement of this major tragedy. And I think that we see a lot in the news and social media, all sorts of things that people come out and say. What do you guys feel about
reactions? I can tell that you and Chris are good life group leaders because you went from like icebreaker to like, now we're going to talk about predestination. You know, like how you, when people are doing, what's your favorite, whatever, and then you have to transition it. But
it's difficult, actually. Yeah, that was difficult.
I always try to make some random connection. Yeah, last night in life group, we were talking about bitterness. I asked the icebreaker question was, what's the worst thing you've ever had? And they didn't know what we were talking about. It's like, so the connection is. And then there were some moans and groans.
Did anybody say pumpkin spice?
No. Okay, I should have said that, though. Okay. It's not the worst, though.
No. Yeah,
sorry to take us off.
No. Yeah, that was my fault. Yeah. I mean, I think anytime there's a school shooting, I mean, there should be an appropriate pause, I think, in our spirit. And because what tragedy, you know, to think that children are a place that should be safe, where they're learning, preparing for their future, and in many cases, lives are taken, and certainly stability for others is threatened. I think, I mean, for me, I go back, I remember hearing about like the Jonesboro, I think, school shooting and others, but the first one I can really remember is, as most 90s kids, you know, is the Columbine tragedy. I was in high school, and I think I came home, and, you know, it was, like, unfolding because I was on the East Coast, and it was happening in Colorado. And just, you're, like, feeling so, like, sorry for those people. But then as a kid, and, I mean, as a parent, you know, you're also, like, empathizing like what it would be like and imagining what it would be like to be in that situation.
Think that's a good perspective to start with, because I mean I think that's common ground. Like that's the first one that I really remember. I was, since I'm a few years older, I was in college when that happened, but I remember we watched and it felt like everything kind of stood still for a little bit and everyone was tuned in to this shooting. And, I mean, there were songs written, right? There were songs written, like the Michael W. Smith, "This Is Your Time." There were stories. I mean, there's always a song for everything.
That, yeah.
You would recognize the song. I mean, it was like a big, that was her, that one of the girls, I don't remember her name, but that was a story that came out of Columbine.
Cassie Bernal?
Yeah, somehow.
Yeah, look at you. So you do know the song.
Look at you.
You do know this song.
I don't know her, I don't know that song, but I know Cassie Bernal was one of the believers.
Yeah, and so I think, there you go. And I think, like, you know, other shootings that have happened since then. I think, you know, several years later, there was a mass shooting at Virginia Tech. So you go to a college, university, where over 30 people were killed. And that was another pause. But if you track it, really, I think what we have to recognize about where we are now is that we do recognize the tragedy, but we just move on so quickly because we're used to it. Or maybe not used to it, but conditioned that this is now part of reality.
Yeah, you're right.
And that is grievous.
Yeah, I think you're right. It felt like when Columbine happened, it was – I mean, I think that was one of the first ever situations like that in that sort of environment. And so it stuck longer and all of these things came out of it. But it does seem like – now, whenever it happens, unfortunately, it's more common, and it just feels, I don't know, it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, I think that has probably a lot to do with the internet and social media, and I think it probably has less to do with that it is more common, and more to do with the fact that we're just bombarded with so much information and moving on to the next thing already versus having those common sources. I mean, again, this is a whole nother podcast. There are problems with having, you know, a few news sources. As John Mayer says, when you own the information, you can bid it all you want. Mm. So anybody know what song that's from? Come on, really?
I mean, I know John Mayer, but
waiting on the world to change.
Oh,
but
yeah,
anyway,
there you go.
So that's problematic, but I think there was such a shared experience, you know? Right. And so now it's not, and I think we'll get to this in a minute. And if you stay on that, you can begin to focus on an angle related to it. And so I think we're just always moving forward, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, but I will pause there and say, like, it really bothers me the number of people who their moving forward is already in their agenda related to this issue versus just pausing and mourning with those who mourn. I mean, this is tragic.
Yeah.
Tragic.
Absolutely.
So
I think, I mean, in any tragedy, I've heard people that have gone through really difficult situations, and they said that before. That's one of the hardest things, too, is that how quickly the world does move on, and your world has been completely shattered and everything changed, and everyone else just the next day just picks back up. And because of our onslaught of media and everything, you know, that happens, I think, at a more rapid pace.
We got to go back to debating Cracker Barrel.
That's right.
Yeah. Seriously, wasn't that like the same time?
It was around the same time, And that wasn't a meme, but it was something. It was an article going around about why isn't there the same level of outrage. And I don't know if that's a fair equivocation.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know that's a fair equivocation there, but it is a sentiment for sure.
Yeah. Well, our next point, this is not controversial at all, but especially in the South and the Bible Belt, Christians and gun control. So I think, like, typically, it seems
All right, I think this is the end of our this is the nice run of Boggy Talk, guys.
Yeah, it seems to be very one-sided. I think it's I don't know. The media likes to point it.
Yeah,
I
think the media
for sure
likes to make it one-sided, and I would say the one-sidedness of it in the faith community depends on what faith community you're a part of. You know, in terms of more conservative, more liberal, even in denominations, see that if you Google, if you just Googled Christians and gun control,
let's do it.
Yeah, I did.
because
I wanted to know what I needed to believe. Just kidding. But I think just because I was curious, what comes up? Most of the first few articles that come up will be sources that are, you know, Christians should absolutely advocate for gun control.
Yeah.
And you would see that as a reflection of more mainline denominations. And then you'll get a little further, and there will be some nuance or some people who are just handling it from a, like, what does the Bible say perspective, and they really don't say a ton in those articles. And then you will see others that I would say would be more on the right, would say, Christians should advocate for individual freedom and the government should integrate. And so I think even your perspective of how you engage in this as a Christian is affected by those things.
Well, I think it's important to acknowledge it's not a black and white biblical issue.
Yeah.
So I do think that there are those on both sides who act like it is.
Mm.
And that's just bad hermeneutics. That's bad study of the Bible. So I do think this issue is one with tension for a Christian. I think it should be. I think that it is true that if you take the ability for good people, use good, but, you know, people who will act rightly to protect, if you take that ability away, then you are indeed endangering innocent people.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, there are constantly laws being made by government that do restrict personal freedoms for the good of the society.
Mm-hmm.
It is illegal to, do certain things that would harm others and potentially bring harm upon others. Sorry. So I think we need to acknowledge that. I think the liberal argument is, you know, do this ban on, you know, certainly certain level weapons and all that thing, these things. The problem with that is that those weapons are already out there. So the bad guys are going to keep the weapons, you know, like they're not going to turn them in. They're not going to, they're going to find a way to acquire those things because of wealth. And so you would be endangering people by doing that. And so I don't think you can just do that and not have consequences that come along with that as well. You know, I mean, there's other countries where people have less access to those kind of weapons, where maybe a ban would be more fruitful and less mm-hmm. harmful. So I think we need to acknowledge that. But I do think as a Christian, like, man, how can we make sure? Like, why are we against figuring out ways to try and restrict
access,
right. mm-hmm. make it harder, you know, to get access? Mm-hmm. I do think as believers we should be open to that, you know, mm-hmm. Cautious,
yeah,
but open to that. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I agree. And there's really not, I don't think that there's necessarily an easy answer to it or an easy path forward. Like you mentioned before, there are just many things you're holding in tension here. And when it comes to opinions, policy, when you're holding so many things in tension, you just have to really just say, okay, what's the next step we need to take in this?
Yeah, I mean, I you know, I don't know that the number of people that have assault rifles in our country need to have assault rifles. I understand why people say, you know, hey, if, you know, no, I mean, I understand, but I just think it is kind of a fear-based mindset. But I also, you know, I think it is very anti-American to come in and say, hey, you know, you can't have guns. Just being real, you know. Mm-hmm. So I also understand that. But I would just say whatever we do, there are consequences, you know. And if we're going to continue to allow there to be the access there is, I think we also need to be okay with the fact that there may come a day when we are spending a lot more tax dollars on protecting our children.
Yeah.
So are we willing to do that? Mm-hmm. You know, like I think we have to be open to that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, we've seen the sentiment on social media when people would keep saying like, prayers are not enough. And that's difficult because first of all, it's not the right thing to say
at
the moment, you know, for these grieving
people. The kids
people.
Were praying.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. It's like, oh my gosh.
That statement gets to me.
Yeah. But I think too
Gavin
that it does show like that you can't. It's a lot of what you're saying. Like there are things that we are tackling. I mean, illegal drugs. We're not just like, well,
everybody's got to do them. Yeah.
Be illegal. You can't stop the criminal. No. We have things that we do, and I know that some of those things are in place, but it's like, are we putting the task force, the money, like you said, the tax dollars to mm-hmm. prevent as much illegal behavior as possible, mm-hmm. you know? And there's probably varying opinions mm-hmm. on that for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah. So another lot that's come out in the media after things like this happen, you know, you have the initial story and then you kind of have all these backlash opinions and things that are going on. But some articles have come out saying that there is a trend towards a lot of the shooters being transgender. Mm-hmm. And so is there validity in that? But then mm-hmm. some articles are saying, no, that's not true. So is that really an issue or is it even a point to consider?
Mm-hmm. I think it's hard to know as of now. I think that's part of it. I think, you know, you start – transgender individuals are such a small percentage of the population, and then you hear of violent incidents involving them, and it does cause you to say, okay, I feel like I'm hearing a disproportionate number of that. Again, they're not like the majority, you know. I mean, there are those who are acting like the trend is all these shooters, you know, are transgender. No, it's not that, but it's saying like hey, we're starting to notice a trend of this. And I think I definitely think that if and I've seen conflicting lists, but, you know, I definitely think if you had a few white Christian nationalists who did this, that there would certainly be a group of our media who would be like, uh-oh, we need to watch this. So I don't understand why that same group wouldn't say, hey, there's been a few incidents this year.
We need to pay attention.
We need to pay attention to this. And I think, you know, but I think it's dangerous to lump all transgender individuals into one group, you know, and say, this is where that goes. Mm-hmm. No, not necessarily, you know. But I do think as a believer that certainly someone who is transgender is confused. And you could see how that identity crisis would begin to really create great instability in their life. I also, I mean, this person, I can't even remember the name, and I apologize for that. They were like apparently into demonic activity and things like that too. So I think there's a whole nother layer.
Right. One article I was reading about all of this was pointing to the fact that, like, yes, there's people try to pinpoint whether it was transgender or Christian nationalist or this ethnicity. But his point was there is almost a singular common denominator in all mass shootings. It's not universal, but the single most common denominator is absentee fathers in the relationships. And not, he wasn't saying it's not divorced. It's almost every single one has no relationship with their father. And so I think that, why aren't we talking about that?
Yeah.
Specifically in our culture, that, you know, now where there's so much push, I've you know, you, as a man, like, you feel like there's so much against, you know, masculinity. And it's like, well, this is a very singular common denominator in all of these is the lack of relationship with a father. What are we doing about that? You know, and then you could push that further into specific groups of people. But I think that is a specific issue. And yes, what you're talking about, like mention of the demonic activity, that absolutely, I mean, I wouldn't say that every, I mean, there is demonic force behind any mass violence like this because it's evil, right? You know, whether or not every mass shooter is under demonic influence, we can't say that. Certainly there's many other factors, but, you know, the fact that that is being talked about with this shooter, absolutely.
How, as believers, we've kind of seen maybe some incorrect ways of how to respond to this. Posting quickly seems to be fault of a lot of people's, you know, not thinking things through. That just brings an insensitivity to it, maybe not knowing the whole story, to trying to let people grieve. But how should we as believers respond in when something like this has happened? What's the appropriate? Is there a right way?
Yeah, I mean, James 1:19-17 says, everyone be swift to listen, slow to anger, so to speak. So, believer, if you are quick to anger on your Facebook post or Instagram post, or I don't know if people tweet still, you're not doing what God's word says. And if you're not listening to the facts and you're speaking quickly, you're not doing what God's word says. And I just think that's where, it comes to the gun control, it comes to the transgender thing on both sides. Like, gosh, people are just like have an agenda and they just want to support that agenda. And it's like your agenda may be right, but, you know, it's not, God cares about how you argue, not just what you argue, you know. That's good. I think that we need to reflect Christ in those spaces. And I want to go back and just double down on it. And I think part of that in a tragedy like this is keeping your opinion to yourself, at least for a period of time, so that people mourning and the tragedies acknowledged.
Yeah,
that was the first.
I mean, unless you're going to fix it, right? Like, unless you're going to save more lives. Like, I'm not saying, like, if you're there in your security car, you're like, you know.
Yeah.
Give them their time.
Agree. I mean, that was the first passage that came to mind, too, was from the book of James. And I think we're so quick to act like these things are just easy fixes or easy solutions. It's just not, as most things in life aren't, easy, quick solutions. And so having opinions, fine. Yeah. Like, that's not wrong. Mm-hmm. But I think trying to understand even your own opinion and why you have that opinion and understand others in that, like you said, just not rushing to what seem and feel like quick solutions in it.
Yeah, because every time something like this happens, like when we get in those like arguments, what we're not realizing is all around us listening are people who this reminds them of a murder in their family. Mm-hmm. This reminds them of the loss of a child. This reminds them of some injustice that happened to them. And so they're like, I don't like the word triggered, but they're reminded of their grief. Mm-hmm. They're reminded of their feelings of why, God, do you allow this to happen? And then here you are with this like inflammatory language, mm-hmm. and they may never be saying anything. And I think we need to recognize that as God's people in those moments, you know. And I will just kind of deviate and say, like, I mean, these things cause us to long for heaven. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not, this is brokenness.
Yeah.
This is an extreme example of brokenness. But it is a reminder that we're not made for this world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and Christianity is not all the answers, but it tells us what the answer is. And it's that it's not that God's up there watching the suffering and saying, y'all deal with it. I mean, this is, God is patient, mm-hmm. waiting for those to come to repentance, to make all things new. God suffered for us. And so I think he's near to the brokenhearted because he says he is, you know, and I think that's our hope. And that's what we can do is we can represent that in these moments, you know?
Yeah. Agreed.
Good. Well, a lot of wisdom there. Thanks guys for your thoughts.
Next week, we're going to talk about unicorns.
Something lighter.
I don't know what else. Done.
Do you think there were unicorns?
I don't know. My daughter thinks there
were. You don't know? No,
I'm just kidding.
I think there were dragons.
I could see that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I do. You know, because how many cultures have dragons, like, in their ancient?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's lots of lots of study on that.
That's kind of coincidental, isn't
it? That's true.
It's like most cultures have a flood, you know, in their ancient documents. Because there was a flood.
Because there was a flood. Yeah. Exactly. Yes, exactly. So, like, and you see the drawings. Yeah, you hear it in ancient
literature.
It
was just regional. Yeah, for a very big region. Yes. Yeah. We'll go with that. But, you know. But same with dragons. Like, it's like,
I mean,
white people and, you know, Asian people, you know, have dragons.
Oh, I was wondering where you're going.
Europeans and Asians in their history, you know, independent of one another, have dragons.
I see where you're
all
going.
There.
And one of those things described in the Bible could very well be a dragon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree.
That's true.
Yeah.
One day
what happened to the dragon, though? The unicorns killed
him. The flood.
They're deceptively.
No. I think they were more recent than that.
Really?
Yeah.
The dragons?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I mean, like the little reptile dragon.
I'm speechless because I have not thought about that, honestly, next week. So I haven't given much thought to the recent history of dragons. I don't know.
Well, if you have any ideas on what happened to the dragons, please email me at kelly@churchonbayshore.org. And thanks for tuning in, guys, and we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.